Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Your Tuesday is going to be fun. We got a bunch of great things lined up this morning. We'll get into in just a little bit our National Day of Calendar. Also, the top rules we had as kids.
Rules.
Yeah, yeah. The things we tried to break
and feel rebellious
about, I think. We have another interesting one about people, what they think about their cat or dog and the average person. And an airline is up to something kind of interesting. Got 5 health benefits of eating pumpkin.
Ha ha. Hey, good follow-up to yesterday.
Yes, I thought so. Thank you. Thank you. I paid attention.
Oh, good. Thought you were just over there dreaming about bacon double cheeseburgers or something.
Yeah, every once in a while, I listen. Every once in a while.
He can be taught.
We got some entertainment news for you as well. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. All those fun things coming up. And in the 9 o'clock hour, Melissa and I have a special guest. We're going to be joined by Rock Larson. He is the Wood County Veteran Services Officer over there. Rock has joined us many times on Morning Magazine over the years. Genuinely one of my favorite people to speak with. Not just because of what Rock is able to talk about with Veteran Services, because of his knowledge of it and everything, but thanks to his service and certainly... I would say his compassion. I would say his intelligence along with his compassion in doing that job.
Yeah.
It's a great combination to have, and he's got it. And he does some really good work.
Got some really important information to share with us about upcoming symposium at the library.
Yes, yeah. Well, do you want to touch on that, Melissa?
Sure.
You are ahead of news. I should have you do that. Sorry.
So this is the Veterans Toxic Exposure. I can't talk this morning.
It's
I don't
my
know.
Fault.
You should
I
fire
just
me.
Tossed it to you. I just tossed it to you 5 seconds.
Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium. It's taking place on October 26th. They have 2 sessions, a 2 p.m. and a 6 p.m. And it's happening at the McMillan Public Library. And this is informational for veterans to find out if they qualify for the, because they've expanded who qualifies for this disability. And also, they've expanded what is included in it.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a lot of really good information for us.
I want to talk with Rock about this symposium, of course, and the importance of it. I mean, it's covering so many different things now. They're going to be addressing expanded presumptive disabilities, as you touched on, Melissa, but Agent Orange, burn pits in particular, is something that...
That's...
Any chance we can talk about burn pits, I think we need to be doing that as a country. Really,
because that shouldn't be happening.
One of the things that I've talked with Rock about before and everything, and I think that can happen. I grew up in a military family. Both my grandfather's Marines. Had a handful of other, you know, cousins, some other family members that have been in the military. Some friends when I was in high school. I don't have a lot of people that are currently in the military that have been, you know, serving and that I talk to on a daily basis or anything. A lot of my knowledge of veterans and their services has to do with my grandfathers. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah. But,
and they didn't deal with certain things. There were certain things they didn't deal with. And when I talk with them or did talk with my grandfather when he was with us about burn pits or anything, it was almost groundbreaking news to them who were even in the know, who even understood this. Now, this was, you know, a good 10 years ago, maybe less, maybe more, but... The issue has been an issue, and it's something that does not get discussed very often.
Well,
and it's very unfortunate that it's not common knowledge of what burn pits are.
Well, they were exposed to things they had no idea what they were exposed to, and no idea the health implications that exposure took on them, and it's taking all of this time for those things to develop.
We talk about... you know, things that happened back in Vietnam or World War II or Korean War or something like that. And we talk about these things like they happened thousands of years ago when they did not. And burn pits are certainly not something like that. We're talking something that's happened in the last 20-some years that we have done to our soldiers. Yeah. And I would like to think that everybody would be behind something like that, including our own government. What would be a part, you know, hey, this was wrong. We need to fix this. We need to own this. it's not about pointing fingers necessarily, although that is certain accountability is certainly a key of this discussion. It's more about how are we taking care of the people that are dealing with this. Right. I'm not as worried about that other stuff. I don't want it to happen again. So, yes, there needs to be accountability. I'm more focused on the people that are struggling right now and suffering. Mm-hmm. And everywhere from even if they can pay for their medical bills, not being able to put food on the table or vice versa or what have you.
And that's not okay.
There's a lot to discuss, a lot going on with this symposium. Again, it is happening tomorrow at McMillan Library. We'll talk more about this with Rock in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that and appreciate the time from him.
Yeah.
All this stuff coming up, Melissa. I wanted to get right into an interesting one here. So I was talking last week a little bit about these virus hunters that there are in mm-hmm. the world and in this job that it exists. Mm-hmm. And I don't think many people knew much about it before the pandemic, but certainly we've had an interest in it since.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Interest has spiked.
It's a fascinating field.
It is.
It got me kind of running down this rabbit hole, though, of other fields that we don't talk much about that are kind of interesting.
Okay.
And different hunters, if you will.
Ah.
And I have an interesting one here that just came out of the UPI, where we get a lot of our oddball stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. Mystery in a bottle hunter, Clint Buffington, uncorks a mystery.
That's a great title.
It's a great title. Tell me the author, Ben Hooper, didn't run around the staff room and everything telling you, look what I came up with. This was great. I love this one. How's the article coming? I don't know, but I got a great
headline. Great title.
There's a message this guy's a message in the bottle hunter. That's what he considers himself. Cliff Buffington of Utah has found more than 100 messages in bottles across North America and the Caribbean. Hmm. And now he's on a mission to reunite one particular message with its mysterious senders. First up, I'm retiring. I'm done. I'm done with acting. I'm done with writing. I'm done with radio. I'm going to do this.
You're going to hunt for bottles? Okay.
Did you hear where his job, quote unquote, job locations are?
Yeah.
North America and the Caribbean. I gotta go. I'm a message in a bottle hunter. This is a dirty job. Some people got to do this. I was chosen to
all
do.
All right, I'll back you on this. If as you're searching for those bottles, mm-hmm. you're picking things.
Ain't gonna find a one. Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Buffington, a musician and former writing teacher. Sorry, who chronicles his maritime discoveries on his messages in a bottle hunter blog, said his fascination with messages and bottles stems from his childhood curiosities. Let's see here. Now, Buffington's obsessed with this hobby, of course, and he is he found a bottle that he's looking for the owners of. The bottle was one of 150,000 launched by Guinness Brewery in Ireland to promote a new type of stout beer. He found it with his mom, and it was really old. It was from 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, and as they planned, they washed up on shores all over the world, and the world spread. People are still finding them. I found two of them, and the last one I found was probably 3 or 4 years ago, so they're still washing up.
Wow.
So this promotion that Guinness did back in 59, are there still bottles showing up with that? Now, that's kind of cool, kind of interesting. And glass is you know, a little more recyclable than other things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know many people that grew up with the word recycling and what recycling can do more than my brother, sister, and I. My mom was way ahead of things on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that like a bragging thing or anything like that. I'm saying just this.
That's
this is
your reality.
Yeah. And I've always had a foot in that world. I've always understood how important recycling is. And mm-hmm. I like to think that I've stayed in tune with that world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see some of the stories and some of the things over the weekend, including one in particular from NPR, that was just earth-shattering for me. The fact of I understood that a lot of these companies were lying to us. I didn't know the extent.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand that none of these companies are really being held accountable for that lying.
Nope.
The truth in advertising laws, different things like this. There's not even fines. Which brings me back to every one of us and our mighty dollar that we have and how we have control over that, at least,
mm-hmm.
and we can choose where we spend our dollars, and I refuse to spend them with any of these companies going forward that lie right to our faces as Americans and everything. I refuse. I will find ways around it. I will spend more than going to these companies that continue to take our world a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Not our country, not this part of the world, that part of the world, the whole entire
whole
world
thing.
A step back. it's got to become more common knowledge. They're saying it's 5, but by the time I finish this sentence, probably 4% of the world's plastics is recyclable. That's it. That's it. Like, I mean, it's insane. So,
and they're still producing more and more of it.
Yes. You set me up pretty well with this story, because I really was using it as a way to lead into this. And I agree with you. It'd be a lot cooler of a story if he was going around picking up trash. Maybe we can hope that he is. He's certainly bringing some debris. It's just bottles. He's got a very specific debris he's grabbing. But these kind of things that we've been doing to our ocean, that's 1959. The Guinness had this brilliant idea to just throw bottles in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's on the surface, on paper, it's kind of a cool idea. I'm not going to get away from the creativity of it or anything
and,
like that.
And it's glass. It wasn't leaching anything into the waters.
True. But we know, you do a little homework, 1959, they're putting plastic on, they're putting a sticker on the on that glass that's going into the water.
Right.
So, I mean, even then, you know, even with the glass situation, they're still putting debris into our oceans, into our water.
Yeah.
We talk about the Amazon being the lungs of the planet. That's not just a fun phrase. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on there is insane. But just focusing on the ocean and everything. Yeah, we've been treating it like a toilet for a long time.
Yep.
This is messed up, and this stuff needs to be accountability, not just with these companies, with all of us. This falls on us. Now, you can scream at your radio, but I've been recycling. I take my recycling out every week, et cetera, et cetera. Great. Keep it up.
Yeah.
There's more to be done. Yep. There's work to be done.
We need everybody to do it. Not perfectly. We don't need everybody to do it perfectly. But everybody needs to try. Those companies need to try a heck of a lot harder than everybody else.
Agreed. No argument here. I just don't feel like it does us any good if we just, well, it's just their fault. I'm doing my job. If we all take responsibility, this is a team effort thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things. We all take some responsibility. It brings us all up instead of trying to pull people down while we come up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work. We all got to live together. So you're absolutely right. These companies got a lot more money than the rest of us and got a lot more power and capability to be doing things right. We have seen other companies, Fortune 500 companies, do things like this. So we know it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not insane. This is a this is something that is a reachable goal. And I don't think that it's harmful to not only hold us accountable, but to hold these companies accountable and to refuse to use our dollars on them if they're not doing these things.
These companies can still be profitable
doing
these things. Look at Patagonia. Look at what just happened with that.
Yeah. Most every company that if you've heard their name, if you've seen their logo, chances are they have a rainy day fund, if you will. It's not called that, but they have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you showed me on paper and everything, well, but my stock price over here and this and my shareholders this, I don't care. Do your shareholders live on Earth? Do they? Because unless they don't, then maybe this doesn't apply to them. If they live on the moon or Mars or something like that, then okay, I'll pull this back. But I'm guessing they live on this rock like the rest of us.
Yep.
This applies to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And these stories are cool. This kind of thing is great. But I can't. It's getting to a point now, Melissa, where I can't read anything like this and not eventually come to that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and pick it apart and go, okay, well, but what about this? I mean, they just recently had a forum in Wausau yesterday talking with many of the candidates that are running for office. One of the things that, you know, they appreciated that a lot of the topics that they wanted to discuss were discussed. One of them that wasn't is climate. Not even brought up.
I understand that there's a lot to discuss, that there's a lot going on in the world. But so many things stem from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nothing else without that. Inflation sucks. But it's a lot more worse if you don't have a rock to live on, if you don't have a planet that you can breathe on. And
or
everything.
Water to drink.
These things matter.
Mm-hmm.
There is I think that while it is important to focus on these things, it is just as important to look at the progress that has been made and to realize that it can be a very daunting situation. And there are many people out there that the reason they are not more caring about this is because it seems so daunting.
They're
what
exhausted.
Can I do? What yeah. One person? That kind of thing. This is where I will turn you to the goodnewsnetwork.org, where they have not only extensive, great reporting on this subject, they have a whole section put aside for it. But it does both. It can do both. It can tell you the facts of recycling while also some positives of it.
Because there are positives.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important that we take those notes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it seems like, well, we haven't done any good.
Then you
we
just feel defeated.
Yeah, and that's not going to do any of us any good.
No.
But it is something, certainly, again, to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
To keep an eye on. It's something to care about, damn it. It's
yeah.
Keep an eye on.
Something to do something about.
2020 vision locked in, focused on this subject, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to come back with our National Day of Calendar. We got some other fun stuff we'll get into. Right now, we'll take a quick commercial break and come back with more. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 7:23 on the clock. Melissa and James here with you. And as we dive into our National Day of Calendar for this October 25th, and so I've asked a couple people about this one because I just happened to glance at it yesterday beforehand, and this feels weird. It's National Punk for a Day, which feels like the most unpunk thing you could do. Feels
yeah.
like the exact opposite of punk rock or being punk or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was National Punk Day. Like a day like about punk rock music and stuff
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Instead, it's just pretend to be a punk for a day.
Yeah, so I guess. I mean, if you wanted to just step into that world for a moment, but I mean, you're not going to, it's not going to go very well for you if you're around
no,
other punk people.
It's kind of like a what's the word I'm looking for?
When poser?
Yep, that's the one.
Punk, a term meaning beginning or novice. First came into the world of music referring to bands that were more grinding garage rock sound than the technically excellent sound of former musicians. Coming out of the hippie rock era, punk started out with the groundbreakers like the Velvet Underground, Alice Cooper, Iggy Pop, the Stooges. They don't mention those other ones. I don't think Alice Cooper would be considered punk rock. more classic, not classic rock, more just classic rock, like which we
yeah.
are classic consideration of rock and roll music. Velvet Underground, a little bit, but more Iggy and the Stooges, you know, that kind of thing. The Sex Pistols, all that stuff mm-hmm. and everything. That's real punk rock. It rocketed into underground in New York and London, and it just set like wildfire. Of course, the Ramones, you got to mention if you're talking about these bands, mm-hmm. the Clash, that kind of thing. Punk for a Day was established to celebrate the long and storied history of punk rock. The amazing and powerful counterculture movement completely revolutionized rock music and the face of the music world at large. This punk rock gets its origins basically wherever you hear distorted guitars. Before this run of before Iggy and the Stooges and the Ramones and all this, where certain artists like Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix, other guitarists fooled around with distortion
mm-hmm.
and messing with their guitars. And it kind of starts from that, and young artists hearing this stuff, like the Ramone brothers or the guys from the Clash or any of these guys, liking that sound.
Mm-hmm.
But then being told in music class or with the other band, you know, that they were trying to start, that's not how we play. You're supposed to sound clear. You're
mm-hmm.
supposed to sound very, you know,
yeah,
clean.
That's not proper.
And yeah, yeah. And I don't want to sound like that. I want to, but I'm doing rock and roll music. Rock's supposed to, you know, be rebellious. It's supposed to go against things. And why the rules in rock and roll, that doesn't make any sense, but there were. And not to say that it was their fault, but the Beatles kind of set all this in motion because they were so dang talented,
mm-hmm.
because they were so dang good. Everybody wanted to do what they did. So before the Beatles, you don't have intro to song, lyrics, 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 refrain, lyrics, lyrics, refrain, guitar solo, ending a song. Like, that's the blueprint. Everybody does. If you
mm-hmm.
and I want to start a band, Melissa, we write our first
yeah,
song.
All
that's,
songs are the same.
That's how we're writing it.
Essentially.
Punk was like, that's not rock and roll. That's just kind of conformatism. That's
mm-hmm.
I don't like that. And then all of a sudden, you see the punk rock movement where it is.
Yeah.
Where they lose me on, if you're an artist of any kind, every artist I've ever known, they want people to be able to take in their work.
Mm-hmm.
They want as many people. Not, it doesn't mean that they want to be a star. It doesn't mean that they necessarily want to be a millionaire. But they want people to be able to see their drawings. They want people to be able to hear their music. They want people to see their writing.
Yeah.
It's an essence of art. It's to share your work and to give it to the masses. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. That kind of thing. Punk goes against that. The definition of, for some punk rock artists, the moment you get a record deal, you're a sellout. You're not punk anymore. You're a poser. Like, forget that. That ain't right.
No.
Green Day is just as punk to me as they've ever been. Like, so much of what they do is still in the essence of it. Have they cleaned up a little bit? Have they gotten older? Yeah, that's called time. It'll happen to you, too. You still have the essence of what punk is supposed to be about, which is just being something different. Just pushing different. Sometimes hip-hop is punk. In fact, you could give a nod to hip-punk as helping, you know, the masses, society, ready for hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It all connects.
I think there's a lot of layers to it, is basically what it boils down to. Because if you really, according to that definition, were true punk, you would never play your music for anybody.
Right.
You'd play to yourself in your basement.
That's it. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Sourest Day.
Ooh.
Can't talk because I sour candy.
Puckered up over there?
I can't.
Are you a fan of the pucker, the Sultan of Sour? Do you love that tight feeling you get at the back of your mouth when you chomp down on a lemon or find a warhead candy?
Hmm.
Look how dramatic they made this sound.
Yeah, it was very dramatic. Well done.
You're just sourpuss. You're just, you like sour candy. If you like sour candy, today's your day.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Do you have any sour things you like?
I like Sour Patch Kids.
Those aren't bad. A big fan of Sour Apple. I like Sour Apple. I've always been a fan of that.
I mean, Green Apple, like the Jolly Ranchers, I think of them as kind of sour.
Yeah.
So I guess of that. Sour Apple.
Yeah. International Artist Day. Art has been an important part of the human experience for time out of mind, and the first records of the world are not written in books, but are captured in paintings, sculptures, and music that helps to paint a picture of the world lost to the past. Think about that. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no textbook. There's no history, a 101 or anything like that. Everything that we really started as a people started with art.
Mm-hmm.
It all stemmed from that. Telling our story, making sure that our story was carried on to our ancestors, started with art. It's just incredibly important and beautiful and fun and awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of a cool thing. So, I don't know, International Art Day, Artist Day. I guess you could celebrate the artists in your life or artists you know, artists you maybe you like or you're inspired by. But do not get this twisted, anybody. Everybody listening, every single one of us, you and I, Mel, all artists, all of us artists, maybe not the traditional type of artist. Maybe you are an artist of food. Maybe you're an artist, a mechanic, whatever. You are still an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So appreciate yourself and your creativity as well. Maybe embrace it a little bit. Maybe do something fun creatively you don't get to do very often.
I'd like to paint.
I would love to paint, too.
I haven't gotten to pick it up in a while, and I've been itching to.
I've only generally really done it once, and I really enjoyed it. I really did have fun with it, but I just that's one of those things that I just need to put the time aside and do it more.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy it. National Greasy Foods Day.
Sour and greasy foods. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not in the same meal.
Yeah, yeah. And you certainly want to keep an eye on these things, you know, cholesterol, all that stuff and everything. Okay, so we did the adult thing. Now let's talk about fun, greasy foods,
okay,
Melissa.
Bacon.
I love bacon.
Bacon's
awesome. Yes.
Pretty much anything deep fried.
Let me just take a moment to appreciate the deep fryer and you know, French fries in particular, because without them, I'd probably have no potato in my diet at all. But thank you, deep fryers. Thank you, French fries. I appreciate you.
And I appreciate all of them in restaurants, because I don't want to have a deep fryer in my home.
Oh, yeah.
So if I want French fries that are deep fried, I have to go somewhere to get them.
I feel like it might be the way I actually do finally physically put on weight. Either I learn how to make my own donuts, or I own a deep fryer, or like whatever comes first, or both. I'm not sure. But I'm with you on this. I do appreciate that they have the grease traps and those things.
Yes.
Worked at KFC for a while, and that easily one of the worst things I've ever had to do at a job. Grease trap.
Yeah.
That ain't right. That's right. Hated that. Did it all the time,
right.
But I hated it.
Yeah.
It's World Pasta Day.
Yum.
Pasta is awesome. Possum is great. And speaking there's of my so weight, much. I wouldn't have half of it without it.
So many varieties of pasta and so much you can do with it.
Do you have a favorite noodle?
A favorite noodle? Mm. I really like rice noodles.
Mm.
Which that's not, you know, what you think of as traditional pasta, but
a lot
per se.
Of people might not
but
like
rice noodles are great. I like also, there's this red lentil spaghetti.
Yeah.
It's really delicious. It's got such a good flavor to it.
I haven't had that in a long time. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I got to get some of that. I haven't had that in a long time. All those are great. You're wrong. The greatest noodle is the
Italian person.
You know, of course you're right. There is no wrong answer. But rigatone is my favorite.
Okay.
It's the thicker, chubby noodle. It's okay. the more round, the thick, like, kind of like it looks like. That's so good. Rigatones are so good.
Mm.
There's no wrong one though. Penne, small, fettuccine, tortellini, linguine, any of these, as long as it ends in an I or a
or
vowel.
An A or
yes.
an E.
If it ends in a vowel, you can trust it. Not the case always with my people, but...
Perhaps that's true.
I had to. Come on.
You can.
Oh, yeah, I can. Yes, yes. And National Crisp Sandwich Day.
Crisp sandwich.
When two pieces of bread contain just meat or cheese, it's really just basic. But when those bread slices include delicious potato chips then there's
crisps.
A whole new reason to celebrate. I was just looking at that, potato crisps. Yeah,
that's what they call them in other countries.
Just haven't heard that in a long time. Yeah, I like that. Now, Crisp Sandwich Day is here to show appreciation for everything related to this fun and simple little treat. Do you do this? Do you know anybody that does this?
When I was a kid, we ate so many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for lunch at school that we would stick the generic nacho cheese... tortilla chips in there.
Nice.
Like they were generic Doritos, basically.
Yeah.
Cheese ones. So, yeah. That was my crisp sandwich.
This was my mom's thing, like growing up. Like, she'd make a sandwich for work and she'd put, you know, I'd see her do this in the morning after she made ours or I made my, you know, my brothers and sisters and she was making hers or her and my dad's or something like that. And it just blow me away every time. They just one of the weirdest eaters I've ever known in my life. She is also one of the few people that I can literally say is a genius. Her IQ and all that and stuff. And the things that she does, like so putting ketchup on her eggs and these things.
That's
like
not weird. I did that as a kid.
I get it. I get that. No, most people out there thought it was weird to me. And I'm weird.
Perhaps, but you also have a palate that's very tiny.
Oh yeah, you were so right. You were so right. And it's growing, but like growing like by centimeters. Like it's barely like that's good. I gotta work that out.
Barely gotten out of our realm of comfort here. Now pull back.
I've been told in my life that I'm very good at getting out of my comfort zone. I need to do it with my palate. It's one of the few things I haven't really done that with. I need to.
Somebody that can help you with that.
Yes. Looking forward to that. Take a break. We'll come back and get to Melissa's news. When we get back, I want to touch on the top rules we had as kids. Getting into some of that fun conversation and how many of those that I broke. One, two, three. Yeah, broke them all. Coming up, we got more coming at you on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. We have such a great head of sound around here.
We do.
Nicely done, Seth. Nicely done.
We appreciate you.
7:41 on the clock in the first hour of the morning show. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got a fun one here, Mel. Mm. What's the number one rule your parents had for you as a kid, and did they actually enforce it? Two in five Americans think their parents were stricter than most when they were a kid. Less than one in five said less strict. Most people think parents today are less strict, though. 75% agree that with that. And over a third think parents should be much stricter than they are. One of the more ridiculous things that I can think of, but also one of the things that does make sense to me, is parents judging parents.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time. And while I will say, I don't know if anybody has a better leg to stand on than another parent, I would like to think that every parent understands that every child is a case-by-case basis, uh-huh. and every kid's different. And you know, well, I mean,
parents who are understanding understand that.
But the judgmental parent thing, mm-hmm. that's never made sense to me, especially when that's such a thing, like you would think there's a kinship in. Hey, you know, you haven't been sleeping
with
either.
This too.
You've been putting these little people before yourself forever, too? Oh, well, we have this in common, you know, instead of tearing each other down kind of thing, building mm-hmm. each other up, or at least supporting each other, having a shared information, a shared care mm-hmm. for, you know, the future of our world.
Right. It's the people who aren't parents that are judgy that drive me nuts.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to find a good way to word that, but you're so dang right. It's not necessarily that I don't think that, well, you can't have an opinion because you never had a kid.
I'm not a parent.
And you know a lot of what you're talking about.
I've got experience with children. I'm not a parent, so I'm not going to take on that, well, I know better than you. Well, of course I don't. But who does?
True, because even other parents don't always know. As I ask my mother and father for advice on this or that, and they ship me up to my mom, my nan and papa, who ship me over to my grandparents, who finally are the ones to tell me, Jimmy, there's no handbook.
There's no answer.
There's no answers here. Yeah, yeah.
You just got to go with your gut.
So good luck. keep going, because I did my job. Mm-hmm. I raised my kids. Yep.
If you need me to sugar them up and send them home, you can ship them to me. Sure, got that.
I'm a grandparent now. This is what I'm doing. This is my. So most people think parents today should be less strict, though. Is that a little surprising to you?
Parents should be less strict.
Yeah, most people think parents today are. Oh, I'm sorry, are less strict though.
Oh,
that's
why it didn't
make sense to me because dyslexia.
That does make more sense.
Sorry, 75% agree with that. That's an awfully high number.
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. Like, what? Let's go through some of these. What they're saying for, and then we can probably delve into that.
According to the poll, here are the top rules we had to follow as kids. Number one, you had to do your chores. 75% of us did.
Yeah.
It's called building work ethic. It's mm-hmm. called, you know, giving. And we forget this as we get older. But as a little kid, the responsibility of, hey, take out the garbage, you know, 10-year-old. Like, mm-hmm. that's, do they drag their feet sometimes and those mm-hmm. things? Yes. But they also, they love that. An adult just gave them an adult job. Mm-hmm. And remember how badly you wanted to grow up as a kid? Remember how much you wanted those responsibilities? Like, you didn't realize what you were asking
for. You can absolutely despise it when mm-hmm. you're 16, but...
But, you know, it's how they learn. It's how mm-hmm. they feel a part
sense
of the
of
family.
Accomplishment.
Yes, those things and stuff. As you build up their confidence, mm-hmm. it's not about just patting them on the back and telling them they were good, even though they didn't do anything. It's they do something. Hey, you took the dog out. Nice. You know, you did your job.
Thank you.
Did your job. Good job. Mm-hmm. Yes. You had a curfew. 75% of people had that.
Yeah.
You had to go to bed by a certain time, 72% with that one.
Mm-hmm.
You had to study and get good grades, 71% said that one. I will say that my parents, all these things, yes, the good grades part, they were understanding because of my moving around so mm-hmm. much, and my schooling was very difficult. I had a lot of learning disabilities, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, mm-hmm. To the point where I can't even say disabilities. But at the same time, it was still like I couldn't just skate by with
right,
D's.
Right, you couldn't do nothing.
Yeah. I see my conversation earlier about my mother. Yes.
You must show effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Good way to put mm-hmm. it. Yeah. It's almost like you know what you're talking about. So, no alcohol. 69% say that their parents set rules or talk to them about it.
So this was done in America, obviously, this poll.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good call. No smoking. 68% said that they had to abide by that. 28% even had rules about caffeine.
Mm, yep.
Number seven on this list, you had to eat everything on your plate. 65% of people with that one mm-hmm. agreed that that was a rule they had.
Mm-hmm.
Rules about driving, 59% had those. Like you weren't allowed to drive at night or with too many friends in the car.
Well, those are also like state laws.
Yeah.
For certain ages.
Rules about going to parties, 55% of people had those. Rules about clothes you wore, 55% of people grew up with those rules. And here are a few more that were a little less common. Half of us had rules about dating. 46% of us had to get a job. 42% were expected to participate in sports or extracurricular activities, and 31% had rules about video games. You can find this complete list at YouGov.org. Going back to where we started here, as far as do you think parents are too strict or not?
I think that those rules are generally the rules that you want to have for your children because you're trying to teach them how to function in life. Those are all important things to know how to do. What time to go to bed, what to eat, what is good and not good for your body, what, you know, activities are healthy for you and not healthy. All of those are good things. The measure to which you implement them, that maybe has varied a little bit, but some of that is, in my opinion, a good thing. Mm-hmm. There were some things that I was required to do as a child that I would never ask my child to do.
Yes, yes.
Not even for a second.
I have some similar things, but I'm fortunate that I don't have that much. But I also, and my parents would be the first ones to admit this, and I'll be the first to admit it after them or before them, whoever gets asked first. I probably should have had a little bit more structure, a little more rules. My parents were kids raising a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. They were. I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade my upbringing for anything in the world. It made me who I am, and I love me, so I'm all right. Mm-hmm. But it was difficult, to put it lightly. It did not get too muddied in waters here. Mm-hmm. And everything. I probably could have had a little more structure. I probably would have been suited well with it. They did way beyond the best they could, and again, wouldn't trade them for anything. But they'd probably tell you before even I could get to this sentence that I probably could have used a little more of it. My sister had a little more. My brother had a lot more. Not surprising that both of them had better grades and what they're doing in their lives and everything. That it's kids need that.
Yeah.
Even though they push against it with the power of a thousand suns, mm-hmm. It's exactly what they need is some structure, some rules. I don't think that you do any child any good and anybody any good as far as being a boss or anything like that, being a heat miser, being the kind of person that just do you want to live do you want to rule by fear or by love? I mean, it is something that you got to kind of consider as a parent. Mm-hmm. And I choose love. My parents chose love. Yeah. And I do think that that's the winner in the argument. But you do need a little of both. Mm-hmm. It's a little column A, a little column B on that one, you know?
Well, and another outlier to this is children of divorced families. Mm-hmm. Because going through a divorce situation as a child can be very traumatic. It doesn't have to be. But it can be.
Yeah.
And then sometimes all of those rules are just tossed right out the window.
Yeah.
When you're with one parent and enforced more when you're with the other parent.
And while I don't begrudge these things, and I'm, again, not telling parents what to do by any means or anything, the kid suffers. The mm-hmm. kid suffers when you've got
when
two sets
not
of rules.
When you first.
Right, right. And in putting the kid first, you wouldn't be worrying about, you know, them liking you. You would be mm-hmm. more concerned with, okay, I know you don't like me, but this is the
best
thing for you.
Are you clothed?
Right, right. Hopefully, you know, you'll come around on this one. We all want to be liked by our kids. We all want to be, you know, our kid's favorite person and all that stuff. And when they write little book reports, they write them about us and all these things. That's not the job. The job is not popularity. It's not a popularity contest. It's not about being liked. It's about, do I want my kids to like me? Do I want my kids to love me? Absolutely. Yeah, I just said rule with love. But
also you want to prepare them for life without you.
Yeah, it's the job. You want them to be able to fly out of the nest. Mm-hmm. They aren't going to be able to fly if you don't do these things.
Yeah.
They're just going to sit in that nest their whole lives. Yeah. And I don't know many parents that want that either.
To be able to do them with compassion and empathy is tantamount.
When your 9-year-old is asking you to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's a hell of a lot, you know, cuter than when they're 39. Mom, my sandwich has the crust on it. Too bad. You're 39. Get out of the house. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Mel and James here with you at 7:53 on the clock. And the next hour, of course, we'll have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We've also got the percentage of people that think that their cat or dog is smarter than the average person. And we have 5 health benefits of eating pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
all coming up for you in the next hour. Right now, an airline is up to something kind of interesting. Okay. Most of us do not prefer the middle seat on a plane. A recent poll asked people if they had their choice, which seat would they choose? And only 3% said that they'd be fine with the middle seat.
3%. Okay.
The big issue is that there aren't any perks of the middle seat. But one airline is trying to change that. Virgin Australia is trying to make the middle seat more appealing by launching a lottery with $230,000 in prizes for people who fly in the middle seat, like a Caribbean cruise, free flights, and tickets to soccer matches.
Whoa.
The promotion is running for the next 6 months, only in Australia for now. If you fly in a middle seat on a Virgin Australian-operated domestic flight, all you have to do is opt into the lottery in the app within 2 days of your departure.
Huh. Okay.
For what it's worth, the CEO of Virgin Australia says that she loves the middle seat because it gives her the chance to meet two people on a plane, not just one. She then told a story about how years ago she met surfer Kelly Slater while sitting in a window seat. It's unclear why she used this example, especially since she was
sitting
not sitting in the
window
middle.
Seat. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It feels like like you ever meet people. I run into this all the time in my neck of the world with acting and everything. The person that just can't help himself. Yeah, I and they look. You can tell already they're working. They're looking for a way to insert this popular name into the conversation so it doesn't look like they're name dropping, but they're. Name dropping. This happened to me when I worked for Conan O'Brien.
Right.
Basically.
Well, right.
Something I do every once in a while. I can take the credit for like being conscious that I do this, but I certainly do it. I certainly do. So I feel like that's what she was kind of doing there.
Well, yeah, because she wasn't sitting in the middle seat when it happened.
Maybe she was saying though that Kelly was sitting in the middle seat, and that's
maybe,
you know,
maybe.
And that kind of. I don't know. I'm trying to help her out here. I'm not sure. I love this idea though. I really do like this idea. I think this is kind of cool. I like the idea of doing this with more things in society. I don't know if it will work. I don't know if it'll be worth it. I do think that it might be worth kind of dusting this idea off and kind of like say, you know, okay, this is good, but how can we generally make the trip better? Like, how can we actually make the middle seat better than just giving them something to kind of like, I'm in the middle seat in my flight. I've got a 3-hour, 4-hour flight ahead of me, and maybe I find out right away I won. Okay, I don't know how this works, but let's say it's that way. So for the next 3-4 hours. Yeah, I got a free soccer game I'm going to, or I got a free trip to Cabo that I got, or whatever.
Yeah, but you're the only one on that plane in a middle seat would get that.
Yeah, and it doesn't really help me now. It doesn't really like do anything for me now.
I think they should charge less for the middle seat.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I like
even
that.
Even if it was $5 or $10 less, like how would that? I mean, it wouldn't. Yes, is it going to cut into their profits overall? Maybe a tiny bit,
but I mean at the same time you have a monopoly, like
have multiple rates for the seats in the plane anyway, first class, business class.
There are certain airlines that the only reason people fly them is because they have never flown with that airline before, and they never come back. There are certain ones that you just go to, and this is a case-by-case thing a bit. You know, different people like different things.
Yeah, everybody's got their own.
But there are only so many of these businesses. There are only so many of them. They control the skies, and they can choose these things. They set these things. They all talk. The CEOs, the owners of these companies, all conversate, all talk, compare prices, and make sure to not knock the other one out of business necessarily, while also having sales.
Staying competitive,
yeah. Since they do this, and they've been doing this since the dawn of airlines, if they do that, why not do that with what you're saying with the middle seat? I think that's actually a way better idea. Like, save your money on all this other stuff and do that.
The only problem is those planes that have, like, a row of six seats in the middle. So then you've got, what, 4 seats that are middle seats?
Yeah. That might be a little more difficult. And maybe you're not able to offer it on those flights. Maybe. I'm not sure. Interesting. I think though that this isn't the last story we're going to do like this. Airlines have seen their numbers dwindle down. They've been struggling since the pandemic, really. Mm-hmm. And if you need any evidence of that, you look at the way that tarmacs are just lined up with flights. Is anybody surprised anymore when a holiday's around the corner and we're hearing about cancellations mm-hmm. and those things?
People their connecting flights.
Just don't have the people with it and everything. It's an industry that's... It's going to be interesting to see how it grows and how it gets better as we go on here. Because mm-hmm. most things, yeah, there are certain things you got to fly to get to. Mm-hmm. But the other things we've been kind of showing, the numbers are showing, people are driving more, using trains more.
Find other ways.
Yeah. We will get out of here and take you right to CBS News at the top of the hour. When we come back next hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. In the 9 o'clock hour, Rock Larson going to join us, Wood County Veterans Services Officer. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Veterans Symposium coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
Looking forward to that in the 9 o'clock hour. And in the 10 o'clock hour, Morning Magazine kicks off for the week. We're welcoming our friend Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. And in part two, Jessica, Domestic Violence Housing First Coordinator with the Family Center.
Good information.
A couple of great conversations right there we're going to have coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.